Upheaval. Breaking point. Chapter 18. Torado's Choice. "Welcome to Bastion City, Your Highness," the pony guard said. Luna dipped her head slightly towards the guard to show her appreciation. The earth pony bowed in response. To her, his face may as well have been chiseled out of rock. It was the same for the other guards guarding the wall where she had landed, and it was the sort of reaction that she had expected. The ponies of the Barrier Lands were not quite sure how to feel about her. She knew that many of them despised Celestia and adored Torado, but she guessed that she had not done much to place herself in either of those extremes. Her worry, however, was that these ponies would resent her for being the one who provoked King Fenrir and caused the Woven to avalanche from the north.
"Don't flatter yourself,"
her brother told her once. It was more than 1,000 years ago, before the barrier came up.
"He could have borrowed a cup of sugar from Celestia, and he would have attacked just as happily if she shorted him one grain."
Luna didn't know how much of what her brother said was true, and how much of it was meant to comfort her and justify Celestia's refusal to hand her over to the rapacious Woven King, even if it meant war. She put those thoughts aside for now, however. She didn't come here to gauge whether Torado's ponies liked her or not. She was here to find Twilight Sparkle and the rest of the bearers of the Elements of Harmony, and to make sure that they were safe. It was nighttime when she had arrived in Bastion City. Though she had teleported out of her brother's fortress, she had only traveled 3/4 of the distance to Bastion City by magic. Long-range teleportation was exhausting, far more exhausting than flight, and she wanted to conserve some of her strength in case she had arrived at the city, only to find that the fighting had already begun. Though she didn't relish the thoughts of having her brother's hoofprints on her face, she was ready to take part in the fighting, if it was necessary.
"Do you need anything, Your Highness?" one of the guards asked. "We are here to serve."
It was hard to make out anything from such a neutral voice. Concern, respect, enthusiasm, even scorn or annoyance would have been comforting. It was as if they were reading from a script that her brother provided them.
"Some rest," Luna answered wearily. "Do you have some place I can stay?"
The guards bowed again.
"Of course, Your Highness. A room has been prepared for you."
They led the way from the walls to what was easily the largest building in Bastion City. Passers-by gave Luna a curious look, and nothing more, as she went through the streets. She had to admire the discipline by which Torado's ponies conducted themselves. There is much to do to prepare for the Woven, and no time can be spared for gawking at anything, not even their prince's younger sister. The room she was provided with was comfortable enough. It was spacious, with a large bed and a cozy fire by one side. The blankets were fur, something that Luna quickly decided not to think about. It was nowhere near the opulence of the royal palace back in Canterlot, but she imagined that it was far better than the average room in this city. She took to the bed and closed her eyes. The plan was simple for now. Get some rest, and then search for the bearers of the Elements of Harmony tomorrow. Though Luna had been upset with her sister for banishing Twilight Sparkle and the others, she felt that she was at fault as well. She was the one who helped Twilight break the memory lock, setting off the chain of events that led to this point. She held on to the hope that they had somehow made it safely out of Fangbreaker Fortress and got to this place. The thought of finding out that they had died would be crushing. Morning in Bastion City found Spike curled up on a bed by himself. He had to share a bed with Twilight when night came. It was but one more small detail to the fear that was slowly forming in his mind. Of all his friends, he was the one whose future in the Barrier Lands was unsure. He wasn't a pony. What place would the Equestrian Legion have for a baby dragon? His best chance was that he would be allowed to continue to stay by Twilight's side and do what he had always been doing for his entire life, but even that role had been diminished. There will be no more letters to Princess Celestia from now on. He sat up and yawned. Two things quickly dawned on him. It was still very early, and that Twilight was up. He looked around and found her by one corner of the room with her nose buried in that book she arrived with yesterday. "Not this again," he muttered. He kept his voice down as he made his way towards Twilight. The other ponies were still asleep. He did note, however, that Vanguard Clash and Scarlet Rabbit were not around. They must have been up and about even earlier.
"Don't worry, Spike," Twilight replied without so much as looking up. She kept her voice low as well. "I got some sleep. I just woke up earlier and got right back to studying."
Spike sighed and looked around to see if there was something he could turn into breakfast.
"First it was that coin, and now it's that book," he said. "Every time Vanguard gives you something, you lose a ton of sleep."
"Both times they were important enough," Twilight replied. "I need to memorize at least one of these spells, Spike,
so I can show that I can be useful in Legion.
Her eyes narrowed. That's a good way to put it, she thought. Learning spells sounded innocuous enough. She had been doing that all her life. But the reality was that she was going to have to kill Wolven if she was going to be useful to the Legion. The spells she was trying to memorize were all to that effect. Vanguard's words from yesterday had stung her, as had his doubt. She had realized that she may have spoken rashly about standing side by side with the Legion, but she was determined more than ever to prove her sincerity.
"So how are you doing with all those spells?" Spike asked. "Knowing you, you should have one or two down pat by now."
"I thought that too," Twilight answered. "But it's a lot harder than I expected."
Spike decided not to continue with the conversation. He had seen Twilight like this before. The best way to help now was to let her study in peace. Twilight's eyebrows furrowed deeper as she concentrated on the page. There were a lot of reasons why she was having trouble with learning these spells. First of all, its format was far from the spell books that she was used to. There was no table of contents, nor an introduction. When she looked at the last pages, there was no bibliography as well. After some time, Twilight realized that Pyre Valor had not planned on writing down a spell book or sharing this book with others. She had taken Vanguard's gift and decided to write what she wanted, whenever she wanted, and however she wanted. The result was a hodgepodge of notes, references, and spells that proved difficult to navigate. To make matters worse, some of the notes didn't even have anything to do with magic. Twilight started down one note thinking she had finally come across something she could do, only to find out that it was a recipe for brewed lichen tea. At the very last page was a crudely drawn caricature of what she could only guess was supposed to be an alicorn with its wings torn off and fountains of blood coming out of the stumps. Celestia was helpfully written underneath the drawing, with an arrow pointing towards it. There was also the handwriting. Twilight understood that this must have been written when Pyre Valor was younger. Just reading the words was a challenge in itself. Pyre wrote with a lot of passion, and that showed in the sharp, bold lines and wild loops. The quill often pressed down deeply enough to leave indentations on the other page. Splotches of ink and a few page tears were the resulting consequences of such a style. She even found a broken quill tip between the pages. And then there were the spells themselves. It was through reading them that Twilight realized that if she had a discussion on magic with Pyre Valor, the two of them would likely be at each other's throats in a minute. For her, casting spells meant control. Magic was a force to be carefully shaped, maintained, and applied. Whenever a spell went wild and caused unintended consequences, it was the fault of the spellcaster, which was why each spell had to be studied and experimented with before being used. From the notes and spells, she gathered that Pyre Valor believed differently. For her, magic was a dangerous and violent force to be unleashed, not applied. If a spell harmed unintended targets, it was their fault for getting in the way. There were very little notes on how to aim the spell, or how much magic was to be used. The closest she could find were "wing it" and "as much as you want without blowing yourself up." Instead, Pyre Valor focused on how to gather magical power and how to convert it to some other energy. Fire, as was always the case in this book. All of those previous observations had come later. The very first thing that Twilight noticed about Pyre Valor's spells was that she really, really loved fire. The first three spells she had deciphered involved projecting a ray of heat to ignite combustible materials, causing a short jet of flame to burst from her outstretched hoofs, and causing a steady blade of concentrated flame to emerge from her horn. There was also the fireball spell, whose devastating effect she had already witnessed. Pyre's name should be a dead giveaway, but it was the spell choice that really hammered the point in.
"Good morning," Twilight heard Spike say. She looked behind her to find her friends waking up. None of them looked very comfortable, and she couldn't blame them. The beds were rather hard. Certainly not what they were used to back in the Heartland. Rarity stretched out her back painfully and yawned.
"Speak for yourself, dear," she said. "This morning is officially good once I find a bath, a comb, and a decent breakfast."
"I'm fine with finally getting something to do,"
Rainbow Dash remarked while wiping the crust out of her eyes.
"I can't stand any more waiting."
"Speaking of waiting, some ponies decided not to wait for us," Applejack said.
"Where's Vanguard and Scarlet?"
"Maybe they're off to get breakfast," Pinky suggested.
"Did some pony mention Scarlet?"
Scarlet Rabbit burst through the door with a bag full of loaves of bread tucked in one foreleg and a large canteen in the other.
"Breakfast time," he said enthusiastically. "Day-old bread with C-grade winter moss and some hot lichen tea to wash it down with."
They quickly noticed that he was wearing a different set of barding from what they were used to. Instead of the plain brown material that served as light barding, he was wearing a fine coat of chain with plates of metal distributed around his chest, flanks, and face. Rarity didn't quite share in the enthusiasm when she received a loaf of the bread. The crust was already quite tough, although the moss baked into it helped it go down. Rainbow Dash, on the other hand, wolfed down her share.
"So, what do we get to do now, Scarlet?"
she asked with barely contained impatience.
"You're in luck," Scarlet replied. "Vanguard and I got news that Princess Luna just arrived last night. After eating, I'll take you to the public baths so you can fix yourselves up, and then I'm going to escort you to the princess."
"But what is she doing here?" Twilight asked. "Did you find out?"
"To check up on you Chosen, I was told," Scarlet replied with a shrug. "You can ask her yourself as soon as you meet her."
"These baths," Rarity began. "How are they? Are they clean? Crowded? I certainly hope they provide soap and towels."
"Well, they got hot water," Scarlet answered. "It'll clean you without giving you a frostbite."
Rarity could only sigh and tried to fix her completely bedraggled mane with her hooves.
"I suppose we'll have to make do," she said.
"Great. Finish up quickly so we can go,"
Scarlet said as he tore through a loaf of bread.
"So where's Vanguard?"
Applejack asked.
"Ain't he eating with us?"
The grin on Scarlet's face dropped a little.
"Well," he said as he scratched his head with a hoof, "we were going back together, but we sort of ran into Flight Captain Tailwind along the way. I had to go on ahead since he was going to take some time."
Rainbow Dash finished her share of the tea with a single gulp.
"Well, I'm done," she said. "Let's get going."
Every pony soon followed. They put on their newly bought cloaks and boots and headed out. The public baths were not as bad as Rarity had feared that they would be. The job of keeping hot water in the bitter cold of the north was a job taken seriously by Bastion City's residents. Public baths were deemed more efficient than getting a constant supply of hot water going through each home, so several were built over the course of the centuries. Each bathhouse consisted of two large pools, one for the stallions and another for the mares. Soap and towels were provided, but a small fee had to be paid before getting in, a fee that Scarlet happily paid for all of them. The soak was a welcome sensation for them. They had just spent days exposed to the elements out in the wilderness, and they were sticky with sweat and covered in dust. Twilight was relieved that the dried blood on her coat managed to wash off. Her injury had healed up well, enough so that she could soak in hot water without opening it up.
"Oh, this is simply divine," Rarity exclaimed. "It feels like forever since I last took a bath."
"I gotta admit, this ain't half bad," Applejack said. "Pinky, stop that," she told the pink pony who was swimming around, much to the annoyance of the other bathers. "This ain't a place for swimming."
"I hope Spike is all right," Twilight said.
The baby dragon had to go in the other pool.
"He's with Scarlet. He'll be fine,"
Rainbow Dash said confidently. As if to answer Twilight's question, raucous laughter echoed from over the stallion pool. Scarlet's voice reached them despite the distance.
"Do that trick again, Spike,"
he exclaimed. Twilight looked over to the stallion pool in time to see a jet of green flames appear, followed by delighted cheering from the stallions.
"See?"
Rainbow Dash said with a grin. After some time, they left the public bath with the owner seeing them off.
"You can come here any time, baby dragon," the yellow-green Pegasus stallion said. "I'll save a fortune on heating with that breath of yours. Let me know if you need a job."
"I will,"
Spike replied happily. Perhaps his worries were going to be unfounded after all. The ponies of the Barrier Lands didn't seem to have any problem with dragons as they did with Chosen. Having completed their soak, Scarlet led them through the streets of Bastion City. The same as yesterday, every pony was busy rushing about. Twilight noticed that her group drew more stares now.
"I'm betting that those Chosen are the reason Princess Luna is here," she heard one passerby say. "I think she's here to offer herself to King Fenrir so she could put a stop to the upcoming attack."
"Her nag sister wouldn't allow that. It would be a defeat for them."
The nag comment grated on Twilight, but she steadfastly ignored it. These ponies were ignorant, she told herself. They've never met Princess Celestia, and their anger over the division colored their judgments. Several minutes later, they were inside the largest building in Bastion City. This building served several functions. The lower part was the Grand Meeting Hall, which gave the building its name. It was big enough to accommodate every pony in Bastion City. The upper parts served as the center of administration. The mayor and most of the officials had their offices and homes built there. As soon as Twilight and the others entered the Grand Meeting Hall, Scarlet excused himself and stayed outside. The grand meeting hall was mostly empty, so Twilight quickly noticed the dark-coated pony heading towards them.
"Princess Luna!" she exclaimed.
Luna felt relief wash over her when she saw the bearers of the Elements of Harmony alive and well. She rushed over to them with a smile and was more than happy to give Twilight Sparkle a hug as soon as they came together.
"I am so glad that all of you are safe," she said. "I was afraid that you were all slain as soon as you stepped out of my sister's teleportation spell and into Fangbreaker Fortress." "We almost were," Twilight replied, "but we made it out safely, thanks to the Legion." "My brother's ponies are brave and good," Luna said. "I knew I could rely on them. Now, let's get all of you to safety. The Wolven will not stop with Fangbreaker. They are surely heading here already."
Twilight stepped back and looked away.
"We know that, Your Highness," she said. "We were planning on staying to help. I'm joining the Legion, you see. We all are."
Surprised, Luna looked at them quizzically, unsure if she heard correctly.
"You want to join the Legion?" she asked. "Do you really mean that?"
"I do," Twilight answered. "Even if the cost is great, I want to do this."
"You are very brave, Twilight Sparkle," Luna said. "But I already knew that the moment I heard that you confronted my sister about the division. I was so sure that you would submit yourself to another memory lock."
"This division must end," Twilight said. "I couldn't turn away. At least one pony shares my beliefs."
"Make that 6, Your Highness," Twilight said with a smile as she looked over her friends. 6 ponies and a dragon."
"I won't stop you," Luna said. "I came here to help myself. But you must prepare yourselves carefully. The Wolven are ruthless and depraved. Surely you've seen this for yourselves when they took the fort."
"We have," Twilight replied. "About that, Your Highness."
Luna raised an eyebrow.
"Yes?"
she asked.
"Our magic has been weakened here. Do you know how we can adjust to Prince Tirado's realm?"
Luna nodded understandingly.
"I've noticed that," she said. "My sister's barrier has caused a division in Equestria's magic as well. The magical drift here is enough to affect unicorns who were born and raised in the Heartland."
"Can something be done about it?" Twilight asked.
"My brother would know. I can contact him right now. You will need his permission if you are going to join the Legion anyway."
With that, Luna concentrated, and her horn began to glow with magic. The magical drift did not affect her, as Alicorn magic lay beyond that of mortal ponies. As magic coalesced into the room, the image of Prince Tirado appeared at the center of the hall. At once, Twilight and her friends fell to their knees. Even as a mere magical projection, Prince Tirado was an imposing sight. His fiery mane seemed to blaze even fiercer than the last time she remembered.
"Well, well,"
Tirado spoke.
"My little sister was true to her word, and she was quite quick about it, too. Good work there, Luna."
"Thank you, big brother," Luna replied.
Tirado turned his attention on Twilight. The entire hall seemed to darken, and his voice was accompanied by a distant rumble of the earth shaking when he spoke.
"I've spent centuries trying to prevent that face you left on my sister back in the Heartland, Twilight Sparkle,"
he boomed.
"I have a pretty strong urge to put your head between my hoofs and squeeze until it pops like the grape you resemble."
Twilight found herself shaking uncontrollably. This was nothing like her first meeting with the prince. Behind her, her friends were experiencing the same terror. She looked to Princess Luna, who was already standing between her and Prince Tirado's image.
"Surely you can't blame that on Twilight Sparkle," Luna protested.
"Of course I can, but there's no point to it. I can't carry out that urge because that would only make Celestia feel worse. So, go with my little sister and bring your friends. All of you can stay here in the Grey Sentinel until you go back to the Heartland, no longer matter to Celestia, or die of old age."
Twilight forced her legs to stop shaking and raised her head. What she had feared was happening. She was being given preferential treatment instead of being allowed to take part in defending Equestria.
"Your Highness, wait," she pleaded. "I don't want to spend my time here in the Barrier Lands hiding somewhere safe."
"Is that defiance I'm hearing?"
Tirado asked with a glare.
"You thwarted Luna's rebellion, refused to go along with Celestia's division, and now you're defying me? Do you have a problem with Alicorn's, Twilight Sparkle?"
No, Your Highness," Twilight stammered. "All I want is to stand with the Legion against Equestria's enemies. We're here to join the Legion."
"The Legion?"
Tirado looked perplexed.
You mean my Legion? You want to risk your lives by fighting against Equestria's enemies, and you want to do it in the place where the fighting will be at its thickest?"
"Yes, Your Highness."
And what will I tell Celestia if you're killed? Should I shrug and say I tried?
Big Brother, Twilight Sparkle and her friends are not Big Sister's property, Luna interrupted. In the end, they should be allowed to decide for themselves where to go.
Toronto didn't speak for some time. The ominous silence that filled the room was suffocating for Twilight and her friends.
I suppose shrugging and saying I tried isn't such a bad plan, he finally said. You have brought this upon yourselves. My sisters and I have given you every way out there is, and you've persisted. I will respect that decision, and Celestia will have to do the same. Stay there if you want, Twilight Sparkle. Do try to be useful in my legion.
Twilight felt herself sigh in relief, an expression that her friends echoed behind her.
Big Brother, their magic is still suppressed by the magical drift between your realm and Big Sister's, Luna said. Isn't there something you can do?
Yes, there is a ritual for it. You can perform it yourself, Luna. Just extend your hoofs over them and repeat after me.
With a nod, Luna did as her brother asked.
Tura,
Toronto said.
Tura, Luna repeated.
Lura.
Lura.
Lay.
Lay.
Now turn around and keep your front hoofs extended.
Luna did as she was told.
By moving your flanks, spell out the name of the unicorns who have to adjust.
What?
Do it now, or you'll have to start over.
With a confused look on her face, Luna did as instructed. Twilight Sparkle was first, followed by Rarity. Twilight waited patiently for the ritual to end. When she saw how silly Princess Luna looked, she averted her eyes to keep from laughing. The princess was doing this for her, and it was beyond disrespectful to laugh now. She waited for some time, expecting some kind of great magical effect. There was no flash of light or an aura of crackling energy appearing, only a tense silence. Suddenly, that silence was broken by a great booming laugh from Toronto. The rest of Twilight's friends could only look at each other awkwardly.
I can't believe you actually did that,
Toronto guffawed. Embarrassed, Luna put her hoofs down and stared angrily at the image.
Big Brother, she exclaimed. I'm serious.
Oh, you just wish there was some magical ritual you could perform, wouldn't you?
Toronto asked once he settled down.
Unfortunately, there isn't. Your magic will adjust by itself as you spend more time in my realm. Good luck with recruitment, all of you. I will be there soon.
With that, the prince's image dissipated.
Honestly, Luna huffed. Joking around in the middle of a crisis.
Twilight suppressed a smile for the princess's sake.
But I'm glad he let us stay, she said.
Luna smiled in return.
I'm glad too. Let us see this to the end, Twilight Sparkle.
The rest of them looked at each other. It was official now. They were joining the Equestrian Legion.